Hare Krishna. Today's Bhagavatam class, continuing from Uddhav Gita, where the Avadhuta says, the Shri Brahman Uvacha, Shantimi Guravu Rajan Bhavu Bhuti Upashrita Yato Buddhim Upadaya Mukho Tamiha Tanshinu. The Brahman says, my dear king, with my intelligence I have taken shelter of many spiritual masters. Having gained transcendental understanding from them, I now wander about the earth in a liberated condition. Please listen as I describe them to you. Just an update, if everyone remembers that Lord Krishna is replying to Uddhava's question on how to attain liberation, how to take sannyas, how to become free from the modes of material nature, and how to attain the perfection of pure devotional service. Of course, Uddhava already knows all of these things, but for our benefit, he's asking, and Krishna's replying, as was the case with Arjuna. And the beginning, we're at the beginning of that instruction, where Krishna is going to show us how we can use our, how we can learn from our own intelligence. And literally he says how one's guru acts as one's own intelligence. I've given examples, or at least, I've discussed that topic previously somewhat. And now we're moving on to what is it that our intelligence is learning from? Does it just learn from itself? Well, no, that's called mental speculation. But it's learning from its gurus, its teachers. And what are those gurus that are being spoken about? Well, here the Avadhuta is talking about 24 gurus. And these gurus are things like the sky and the air and pigeons and prostitute pingala. And this is not a standard approach for our Vedic culture, where gurus are, first of all, some inanimate, many inanimate things. But whether animate or inanimate, whether they're actually not taking the role of instructing or giving guidance. Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru, Vardhana Padarshika Guru, Chaitya Guru, Shravana Guru, Shastra is Guru. All of these speak to us in one way or another. We can hear them. Not only do they speak to us and give us direct instruction, but they also respond to our further inquiries. So they're, or at least they should be, very easy gurus to follow. But as we sometimes see, even those gurus we don't take full advantage of, or sometimes disobey and don't follow. But here's a different type of guru. Here's a guru who doesn't really speak, or if it's a person, they're not directly speaking to us, but something else is taking place. And still we can learn through them. And how is it we learn through them? We learn through the example, through the principle, through the point of Dharma, that these things or people unknowingly instruct us. But it requires a certain kind of intelligence, and it requires a certain type of person to be able to get this type of education. And what is that type of person? The person who doesn't have motive. Now, of course, that's the basic principle of pure devotional service. Devotee is devoid of motive. He doesn't want liberation. He doesn't want sense gratification. So when one is actually above this concept of trying to enjoy the world, then whether animate or inanimate things become things that connect us to knowledge, connect us to transcendental knowledge. And in a deeper sense, they also, as Krishna describes in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, they connect us to Krishna. They let us see Krishna everywhere. Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra. How is Krishna everywhere, in everyone, and in everything? But if one has the tendency to enjoy, if one wants to enjoy this world for one's own selfish purposes, and that even may be for the purpose of liberation, one wants to be liberated from this world, raga, dvesha, vimuktastu, then that type of psychology or mentality obstructs us from actually seeing things as they are, from really getting the real message that's coming across to us. Now, this is not just something that takes place with this type of gurus that the Avadhuta is going to be talking about, but it can also take place when our speaking gurus speak to us, what to speak of when the super souls speak to us. So how often the question comes up, well, how do you know whether Krishna is speaking to you in your heart? If you're pure at heart, if you're pure in intent, which generally means if you're sincere, then you'll be able to hear Krishna. But otherwise, if you're not, then you won't. Or if one is still just too covered, then better hear those people who do speak to us. And then, of course, that also becomes a sometimes a problematic issue, is that even the people who speak to us, we misunderstand them. What does it mean that you misunderstand someone? Well, one interpretation of misunderstanding is that someone said something, but you understood that they said something else. And that's going on. Srila Prabhupada, for instance, gives the classical example of when the spiritual master tells the disciple, bring me a glass of water, and brings him a glass of milk, thinking that actually he wants milk, not water, because I'm speculating that milk is superior to water. So we come across this problem that even when we have gurus who are speaking directly to us, still we don't often or don't always clearly understand what it is that they're saying, why is it they're saying it. We become confused. So what is it that obstructs us? The filter of desire to enjoy this world, and even that phrase comes, enjoy the spiritual master. So commentaries, acharyas, therefore comment that because the Avadhuta had given up the desire to enjoy this world, therefore he could actually see everything and everyone in this world as his guru. And that's what our teachings are going to be about. That's what at least this following chapters are containing. What is it that the Avadhuta heard? What did he hear from the pigeon? What did he hear from the hawk? What did he hear from the sky? And we can hear, provided that the voice of our own false ego doesn't get in the way. And what to hear, that we're being taught here. And it's not just every time you see a pigeon, this is what you should think, but rather it's a training so that we can apply these same principles to other things, because there's a lot more than just 24 things in this material world. There's 8,400,000 species of life. But we have to, and there's an unlimited number of other inanimate things, and all of this has something to teach us. Ultimately, they have to teach us that Krishna is in everyone and everything, and that we should leave this material world and go back to him. How wonderful and how beautiful is Krishna, if his illusory creation is so wonderful, so powerful, so attractive. This is what we should actually be learning. So discrimination, understanding, these are things that one cultivates, and the cultivation of those is called sankhya, or counting. Sankhya literally means to count. So when we're studying this material world, we're studying the place where we're in, and we're seeing how it works, why it works, and come to the conclusion that there must be some higher power that's making it work. That's called sankhya. But it shouldn't be done in a completely speculative way, but it should be done along lines taught to us by Acharya. So here Krishna is teaching us what is the process of practicing that sankhya. And of course, Lord Kapiladeva also describes sankhya yoga. The ultimate purpose of always is bhakti. So Krishna also says, he talks about buddhi, intelligence. He talks about buddhi yoga, fashritya, take shelter of your intelligence. But it needs to be purified intelligence. And with that purified intelligence, you can control the mind and senses and elevate yourself. But if your mind is not purified, it is not strong enough, then the mind and senses can degrade the intelligence. And this buddhi yoga, or this use of intelligence, actually finds its peak when Krishna says, "Dadami buddhi yogam tam," when we can hear Krishna directly speaking to us. But that requires priti purvakam. It requires a high grade of devotional service. It requires devotional service with love. So whether it's with the case of the Avadhuta, then we see Krishna's potencies everywhere, and we learn how to control ourselves, control our senses, our minds, and rise above the pushings of the material nature, where we recognize the futility of sense gratification. And beyond that, where we can see Krishna in everything, he becomes the taste of the water that we're drinking, and we're aware of that. And even beyond that is where Krishna is giving us, telling us how to, through our intelligence, how to serve him. All of this kind of training and understanding comes through Srila Prabhupada's books, because that is why Prabhupada gave us books, not primarily for us to distribute them. He gave those books to us primarily to study them, to know them, to apply them. Learning, discrimination, understanding, all of these things are very thoroughly laid out in Srila Prabhupada's books. And when we take advantage of them, then progressively we become Krishna conscious, because that is the strength and the use of the intelligence. It will guide us in the right direction. But it requires practice. It can't just be some kind of static, unprogressive faith that ultimately just reverts into ritualistic activity. So that was some of the thoughts in today's Bhagavatam class. And yesterday I was in Yuvajadam, and Yuvaswami Maharaj arrived there. He's going to be there. He was there yesterday and today, and tomorrow he's coming here to Budapest. Hare Krishna.